Hi, everyone. We're so glad you could join us today for our second day of the ice cave craze. It's our travel article for December. It's already the middle of December. Can you believe it? And I have two people with me in our studio today.
Hi, everyone. This is Liz.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Linda. And we're glad that you could join us today. We had an interesting talk yesterday about the ice caves of Wisconsin that only happened. They haven't happened for 5 years. They happened last January and February, and it's wintertime now, so we're talking about them. What did you find most interesting about yesterday, Steve?
Well, as I said yesterday, Wisconsin is in the middle of America, and it's usually flyby territory. So we're learning that it's actually worth making the trip to go out and see these caves in the dead of winter. And we're hoping that in another month or two, that the same thing will happen again as it happened last year.
That's right. More than 76,000 people have flocked to the spot since January 15th. And we're talking about, this was just a very conservative figure that was given. And that amount of people is actually more than what the area is used to having. And this area is usually considered, well, this area usually does its business with tourists in the summer months, but for this to happen with the ice cave craze, suddenly a lot of money came pouring in.
That's right. And we see that one of the key factors of the ice cave craze is that they could actually walk on the ice to get there, because these are the Apostle Islands, and 12 miles of shoreline make up the Apostle Island National Park, or National Lakeshore Park. And the caves are down the shore, and some of the shoreline disappears. So in the summertime, you can see them because you can kayak or you can sail around, and you can see the sandstone cliffs. And sandstone, we said yesterday, is what kind of stone, Steve?
It's stone made of sand in the depths of the earth where there is pressure and heat. These stones, these huge stones, are made from sand. So they're not super hard, and the wind and the rain and the waves and the ice can easily erode these huge, huge cliffs, and that's how the caves are formed.
Right, and so the spray coming up from Lake Superior and the snow coming down forms the stalactites, or those that hang down, but without the lake freezing over, there's no floor for them to stand on, for people to stand on or to walk on.
Right, so what we see on page 30 there is a good example. We have the beautiful stalactites hanging up top, but then for the people to be able to be underneath and taking pictures and admiring them, the water has to be just solid ice. Otherwise, it wouldn't be possible.
Right, because there's oftentimes the shore runs out, or the beach area runs out. And again, these are cliffs, so you could look at it from maybe on top, but you certainly can't look at it from down below or go into them. And some of the caves actually had to be accessed by climbing in on your stomach. So people had to crawl on their stomach to get inside of it, and then you could stand up inside of the formed cave by the ice. So pretty, and I don't know if I would like to be sliding around on snow, on ice, on my stomach, but
maybe if you had a coffee in your hand.
Yeah, that might help. Or the hot chocolate they were selling yesterday. Today we're going to take a look about how this has affected this community, because, you know, there's a short tourist season in this part of the country. It is very beautiful. They do have a lot. I know Steve likes to fly over. I'm from this area, from the Midwest, although I don't often go to this area of Wisconsin. I usually go up along the other end, the other side of Lake Superior. And again, we said that this is the largest freshwater lake in the world by surface, and it's also the coldest lake. And today we're going to take a look at some of the what happened to the community that these caves have been formed in. So if you have your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, please open it to page 31, or you can find it on a digital device, and we will begin our reading, and we will read the down to the middle of the second column.
Though some businesses remain closed for the winter, others that are typically staffed in summers with college and high school students are extending their winter hours and scrambling to get by on overtime. Cheryl O'Brien hasn't taken a day off since mid-January, often working 16-hour days in tiny Cornucopia, Wisconsin, where she and her husband own the Village Inn bar, restaurant, and bed and breakfast. She can't help but beam when she talks about the ice cave rush. "It's been just unbelievable," O'Brien said. "We've never seen this kind of influx of people, ever, not even in the summertime." The couple has added 16 employees to their normally reduced winter staffing of 6 or 7. They canceled a vacation to Mexico. They barely have time to do laundry. O'Brien said she hopes the influx will give people an idea to come back in the spring, summer, and fall. "They've discovered our little corner of the world," she said. It may work with Colleen and Donald Rost Bannock, who sat down to a late lunch at the Pier Plaza restaurant in Bayfield. After moving to Minneapolis from Hawaii in September 2013, the couple decided to embrace winter by trekking to the caves. They left awestruck. "It was absolutely breathtaking," Donald said. "The icicles that are hanging down, they look like chandeliers," Colleen said. "It has definitely given us incentive to come up here in other seasons."
So we can imagine with a place being this cold in the wintertime that it must be uncomfortable for a lot of people to stick it through the entire winter season. So we see here in the first line here, though some businesses remain closed for the winter, and I think I would do the same for myself, others that are typically staffed in winter in summers with college and high school students are extending their winter hours and scrambling to get by on overtime. So there's just so much business. A lot of these tourists coming in and out, you need to have all that help. You need workers around and your hours, you know, you have all these people coming through. Of course, you got to stay open.
I like this word scramble. It's very descriptive, don't you think, Steve?
Yeah, it gives me the idea that these people are a little frantic, mm-hmm. that they don't know how to handle this many people coming in. You have, let's say, 100,000 people coming in. They have to be fed. They need to sleep somewhere. There's all kinds of work to be done to accommodate these people that they normally don't know how to do it. Maybe half that amount they know how, but people are just too many.
Right, and they also have to, you know, what I was thinking of, you have to feed all these people, you know, so you have to rethink your whole, your stock, you know, what are you going to order and getting it there.
Right, and this is not a big urban area. This is a small community. And so let's just take that small figure that we mentioned yesterday, 76,000, and let's just say within 1 month. Mm-hmm. So divide that by 30.
Well, I was
and
just thinking
how many people that would be.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about my friend's kids who went there, you know, and she said there was a mile long, you know, that's like a 2 mile long stretch of cars on both sides of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people are going to be going into these towns around there needing places to sleep and food to eat.
Right.
And coffee to drink.
Yes.
And warm winter clothes to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And surely some of those cars are breaking down in the cold. You got to fix them.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
Tire chains, you name it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think people should know, too, I don't know about Wisconsin. In Minnesota, in some of the states, you can put chains. People put chains on their tires. You definitely have to have winter snow tires.
Mm-hmm.
No, in Asia, you know, we don't know what that is. But when fall comes, usually people change their tires to snow tires. They have a deeper tread so it can stick better to the ice. I don't think anything can stick to ice, but to the snow. Or they used to actually put studs in them. They would have like metal mm-hmm. little spikes in them. But it also is terrible for the road.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to get stuck in this snow and ice.
No.
So it's great for the community. And we see now we're in the next paragraph. We're looking at Cheryl O'Brien. And she hasn't taken a day off since mid-January. And remember, yesterday we said this article actually was written at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a month or 6 weeks
She has not had a day off. Not only that, but she's been working 16-hour days.
Mm.
And so she's very, very busy. She's scrambling around. She's trying to accommodate all of these guests that come to her village inn, which is a bar, restaurant, and a bed and breakfast. So she's probably the owner or the boss, and she's trying to order the food and wash linens and, you know, all kinds of stuff that she has to take care of. It's pretty demanding.
Right. But she's not stressed out, though.
No.
She can't help but beam. That means she can't help but just smile and look so happy when she's talking about handling this business, this ice cave crush.
Yeah. The ice cave. What does it say? The ice cave Raji. Yeah. And also, I think that that says a lot about her, because some people would be like, I'm just so tired. I haven't had a day off. And, you know, we complain if we haven't had a day off in 2 weeks. And here it's been like a month or 6 weeks, and they're working 16-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's from, you know, that's only 8 hours left of sleep, period.
True.
The other thing that I think of is that there is a high turnover here, because people don't come here and stay for like a week. You know, they come to see the ice caves.
Right.
Maybe they'll stay for a day or two. So you are like cleaning their rooms, these rooms, for turnover, high turnover. That takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's been working, like we said, perhaps 6 weeks without a break, 16-hour days. I'm guessing she must be under 18 years old.
And she owns a restaurant and a B&B.
Oh, man.
She's done very well for herself. And she says that...
just been unbelievable. It's hard to believe, because it's been, 5 years since they had this phenomenon, and so... All of a sudden, 5 years later, you have all these people showing up in the winter month, and usually that's when the community is sleepy or
mm-hmm.
hibernating.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never seen this kind of influx of people, she says, ever. So she's never seen it before, and not even in the summertime.
Right, an influx here just means what?
It means the arrival of a large number of people at the same time. So we're going to see this word a few more times today, so that's a good word to remember, mm-hmm. influx.
And if you're looking at your magazine, you can see that there's the sentence, we've never seen this kind of influx of people, period, ever, period,
mm-hmm.
which we use this when we really want to emphasize it, this kind of statement.
Right. It may not look like standard grammar,
right.
But this is something that you'll hear people say.
So you don't use it, you don't see it very often. So
right.
if you're writing in English, you want to use it sparingly. You know, mm-hmm. you really want to use it for emphasis. That's it. And then her next sentence is not even a complete sentence either. It just says, not even in the summertime, period. So it's to emphasize, even though we are, you know, they're a tourist community, even in the summer they don't have this kind of turnover,
yeah.
this many people.
So again, a reminder that the way people talk is not the way we would necessarily write something
mm-hmm.
out. But as you see, this is a quote, a direct quote from O'Brien, so... We can write it in this way.
Right. And then we see, what has she had to do, really, to keep up here?
Well, she certainly can't. It's impossible to handle your business all by yourself or even with your husband. So they have added 16 employees to their normally reduced winter staffing of 6 or 7. So normally in the wintertime, 6 or 7 people would be enough to handle, you know, all that's going on in this B&B and restaurant. But then 16 more people, so it's say double or tripled.
Yeah,
that's
a lot of people.
Yes.
And they're busy. I mean, if she hasn't slept for 16 hours a day, and they also say that they're scrambling to get by on overtime, so people are working more than their 8 hours a day.
Yeah, for sure. Not only that, but this woman had to cancel her vacation to Mexico. Probably a little disappointed, but she's still smiling.
She's beaming.
She's beaming.
Yes, like the sun.
Cancel my trip to Mexico? Yay!
No problem.
And they barely have time to do laundries. That's how busy they are. They don't even have time to wash their clothes.
Right. And I think, again, that's because of the big influx of people, of different people every day or every couple of days coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, usually this area or the area in the Midwest, even though it's pretty flat, there are hills. People go skiing. There are ski resorts. That's not in Bayfield, but around in different areas in Minnesota and Wisconsin. They're not ski resorts like you see in Colorado or in Washington State, but there are ski resorts there. And those are fairly busy, you know, but to think that people are coming, I bet people could ski across the snow on the lake also to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll find that some do cross-country ski across there.
And the other thing that's kind of interesting about going here, you know, or talking about these towns here, when you go to see the ice caves, you actually have to climb down a ladder to get down to the shoreline.
Oh, okay.
Because remember that we're talking about a beach area on Lake Superior, so it's not like flat there.
It's a cliff.
It's so like on page 32. The picture on page 32.
That looks pretty cliffy.
Yes. So imagine climbing down the side of that just so you can be on water level.
Yeah. So, you know, these towns are up above and they're seeing a huge influx of people. But to actually get to the caves, when they come back, they're tired and hungry.
Very.
And when you're hunched over, we've talked to some people are hunched over against the whipping wind.
Yes.
Hunching makes me hungry.
Okay, we see that, what does she also go on to say? She hopes that the influx will give people an idea of what?
Well, she hopes that this will continue into the spring and the summer months, that the same amount of people will come back. And that, again, this is helping the economy. She's making a lot of money helping to feed and house these people. So she hopes it continues.
Actually, I want to say, like, we often think about the East Coast or your area when we think about the fall and the leaves changing. You know, there's even, like, drives through the Northeast area to look at leaves changing through Virginia, that whole area. But Wisconsin and Minnesota, it's the very same thing because of the kind of trees that they have. This would be a beautiful place to go in the fall to see the red and yellow leaves. It's very beautiful. And they're all, the tree line goes across here, too, you know. Mm. I mean, I know driving up from Minnesota, in Minnesota, like driving to the north, there comes to a place, it's like a line that you come to, and all of a sudden it's forest.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just driving through all kinds of trees from, like, flatlands because it's part of the plains area as well. So, you know, that's a good idea. If they found it in the winter, maybe they will come back. She said they've discovered our little corner of the world. That's kind of a cute way of describing
that. Right. Well, we know the world is round, but when we say corner of the world, we're usually talking about a small little area, and usually it seems like an area that is far from everything else, tucked away.
And this certainly is, because it's tucked along the shoreline of Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
And what else are they saying here? We meet a couple that's actually come to do this, Colleen and Donald, right?
Yeah. They sat down to a lunch in Bayfield, and I don't know why they would do this, but they moved to Minneapolis from Hawaii. It had to be job-related. No one would ever do that. Or maybe their children live there.
Something.
It's got to be some big reason.
I just want to say Minneapolis is a beautiful city. Just
it
so
is.
You know.
It
but
is.
I don't know if I would do that.
Okay, so they did it. And in September of 2013, and then they decided to go check out the caves.
I like the way the description she gives here. They decided to embrace winter.
So if moving from Hawaii, yes, rather than not enjoying it because winter months suddenly, well, the whole experience changes from Hawaii's winter to winters in Minneapolis. But they decided to embrace it. That means to just go ahead and accept, deal with it, and even have a positive attitude about it.
Well, actually, it's even more than that. Embracing winter means engage in winter activities.
Right.
That means outside.
That means you don't just stay indoors and just hate it.
That's a great, great thing to do, actually. Don't complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace it and take advantage of it. And we might use that here in Asia sometimes. I know a lot of people, they hate the summer because it's so stifling hot. Well, if you can learn to embrace it, you can enjoy it and change your attitude about it. It becomes more pleasant.
Mm-hmm. So whatever situation, it's a good verb to use, you know, to embrace your situation. It means to get into it and enjoy it wherever you find yourself in life.
Right. Embrace is just a way of saying hugging,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually the first definition. But it's like you're hugging, you're accepting, you're going to love it.
Right. I think that's a good word to use with it. You're going to love it. You're going to learn to really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to love winter, but they're learning to enjoy it. So they decided to embrace it by trekking to the caves. And trekking here, I don't know if I would trek, but...
Well, with the amount of hardship you go through, it's no easy trip.
No.
And when something requires you to... like exercise, and you know, you're sweating, you're breathing a little harder, then it's a trek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this word very much. It comes from actually South Africa, and the colonists there, when they were traveling by ox wagon over the countryside up down there in South Africa. And so it just means to walk a long distance over land like hills, mountains, or forests. So it's takes some effort, some energy. But it'll be very beautiful because they left awestruck. They were really surprised by the beauty of this place.
Quite impressed.
Right. And admiration or respect, we see this in our vocabulary focus. Have you ever been awestruck by anything?
Certain fantastic musical performances, magical, you know, like magic shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in nature, you could be awestruck by a sunset, by an ocean view, by a night sky.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in this part of the world also is where you see the northern lights, you know, at night. You know, the northern lights we've talked about before, the lights that come, it's by the refraction of the light on the curve of the earth and all the cold water particles, right, snow particles, coming down from Alaska or from the Arctic area. You can see them very clearly from this area. And if you ever see them, you are definitely awestruck.
Mm, mm.
So they're awestruck by, if you just look at the photos here, just looking at the photos in our article, in our magazine, you know, it's amazing, really amazing.
Right. And Donald says, if you see in the second column, it was absolutely breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see something that's so amazing, you find yourself, you're like holding your breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So because you just don't know what to say. And, they are hanging down like chandeliers. So that's that fancy crystal light that you see in maybe like in fancy restaurants or hotels.
Right. It is pretty amazing. And actually, I think that O'Brien would love to hear this sentence. Colleen said, it has definitely given us incentive to come up here in other seasons. And that's exactly what she wanted.
That's what she wanted. That's what she hoped for. So it's doing its job.
Well, at least for one couple. I'm sure many more will be going back as well. Well, let's continue and finish up our reading here on this page under Help Wanted.
Help Wanted. The influx has meant long hours and extra help called in for the National Park staff, too. This year's Ice Cave crowd is already 6 times larger than the busiest previous winter with accessible ice caves, which drew 12,000 people. Staff has increased from about 20 to nearly 40 to handle it all. Okay, so not only are the area's bars, restaurants, and bed and breakfasts needing to add more staff, the National Park Service has to add more staff too.
That's right. It says that the size of this crowd this year is amazing, isn't it, Liz?
That's right. This year's Ice Cave crowd. I love it. We keep seeing Ice Cave something. Ice Cave Craze, Ice Cave Rush. Now we have the Ice Cave crowd. 6 times larger than the previous winter, the busiest previous winter. 6 times.
With accessible ice caves, you have to finish that.
Oh, that's true. That's right. You're right. With accessible ice caves. So it's not just past winters. We're talking about the last time when they had the ice cave available for people to go trekking through and see that number compared to this particular figure, 6 times
larger. And that was 5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, 5 years ago. And that just drew 12,000 people as compared to 76,000 at the time of this writing.
Right.
That's huge.
So it makes me wonder if it's because of the use of social media. Mm. I mean, it does say, yesterday we talked about it, it said that they had international news coverage and social media was spreading the word.
Mm-hmm.
So you really wonder which one had the biggest effect. That's a huge, that 6 times more people is, that's a huge increase.
Well, 12,000 is already no small number.
I know. 276,000?
Wow.
But I'm pretty sure it ended up being a lot more than that.
Mm. And I often wonder earlier how even Erno found out about this. Was it through social media, word of mouth, maybe a news report in Hungary covered it?
And we see that here, the National Park staff, they doubled their staff. You know, and if you're wondering why they have to have National Park Service here, why can't people just go there? Remember, this is a national park. You know, and they are also there. People don't, sometimes people get there and they don't really know what they're doing. Sorry. But I mean, if you are not from that area and you go out on Lake Superior, you really have no idea what you're getting yourself into. We're not talking about a little wind. We're talking about, you know, your face can freeze, your ears can freeze, people don't wear gloves. If we look at the bottom of the page, we'll talk about this tomorrow, but, you know, even the clothing stores are selling out because people arrive to go and they don't have the clothing they need to go out there. So they need people to watch out for them and also to protect the caves, I think.
That too, yes. Yes. That's what the Park Services people do. They're there to protect the natural wonder.
Well, we hope that you have enjoyed our discussion today and that you'll join us tomorrow for our third and final day as we travel to the ice caves at the Apostle Islands in Wisconsin. See you then. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.